Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and our senior pastors, Richard and Helen Kabakian, can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
Title of my message is that the spirit is strong, but the flesh is weak. Come on, write that down. That the spirit is strong, but the flesh is weak. Have you ever set out to do something good? Have you ever set a plan to go to the gym? I think I'll start there because that's 99.9% of us. All of you, we can relate right now. We're bonding here because we've all set out to go to the gym. Some of us successfully have committed to it and we've gone and we've grown. But some of us, we've made plans, we've had good intentions, but we just haven't stuck it out. Am I preaching to anybody here tonight? Me and my friend Isaac Tipping, we wanted to go Friday, 8 a.m. every week. And about 3 weeks in, Isaac quit on me. And obviously, you can't go to the gym by yourself, so I quit as well. But my spirit was strong. I wanted it. But you see, my flesh was weak. And I just love that illustration because Isaac's not here at the moment. He's in Poland. And so, you know, I can say what I want. But have you ever had some good intentions? What about this keto diet everyone's talking about? And I know we've heard probably a fair bit about it, and we always talk about Tim Gavista doing a great job with it. But I'm pretty sure someone told me he ordered a burger without the bun the other day. Is that true? Pastor Tim?
Sorry?
You ordered a burger without a bun? All the time. See, he had some good intentions, but Tim, see, his flesh is strong and his spirit is strong. But have you ever tried a diet where you're just so committed to it, ready to go, but you just couldn't stick it out? How about some uni students that I'll sleep in, skip the lecture, I'll watch it online. That's all good. Next minute, nobody watches it online. Had the good intentions. The spirit was strong, but you just didn't quite get there. I saw in one of my my friend's calendar, we were trying to lock in the time to meet, and I saw it at 6 a.m., exercise and prayer. Man, how inspiring is this person? How awesome. 6 a.m. to pray. 6 a.m. to exercise. I said, that's awesome. How'd you go this morning? Yeah, didn't get up to do it. What about nap? What about nap? Just nap. See, the spirit was strong, but sometimes our flesh just lets us down. Matthew 26, verse 39 to 40. This is what the Bible says. This is Jesus. It says, he went a little further and he fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but God, you will. Then he came to his disciples. This is important. He came to his disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me just 1 hour? He said, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. And the idea I want to come around tonight is the idea of prayer. And for a long time, I was passionate about prayer. And I had this thing where I thought, I want to pray. I need to pray. I'm going to pray. And I had this great thought that, hey, when I wake up in the morning, I'm going to give God my first, which is an awesome idea. And so I decided I want to give God my first. And so I thought, as soon as I wake up, before I even get out of bed, I'm going to pray. I'm going to communicate with God. I'm going to set my day right. But you see, it didn't quite work out that well. Because as I began to sit up in bed and started to pray, and I was like, God, I just want you to bless my life. God, I want you to pour out your favor. God, I want you to do something significant today. God, help me in this area. God, help me. And before you knew it, I was back asleep. God, I just want to take a nap. Back to sleep. I mean, we can be real here tonight. See, the spirit was strong. I knew I wanted to pray. I knew I had to pray. And I find talking to a lot of people, we have good intention, but sometimes our flesh just lets us down. Maybe we get a little bit too busy. Maybe we just get a little bit too tired. Maybe we get a bit too distracted to prioritize prayer. And I want to open this idea up tonight and just encourage you to make time for prayer. Just want to illustrate how important prayer is to our walk with God. And I really want us to awaken our prayer life tonight. Can we do that? Come on, give God some praise if you're ready. For tonight, the truth is that prayer is our biggest weapon.
Yes, that's true.
It is 110% our biggest weapon. And I'll tell you what, the enemy would love to put our prayer life in a straitjacket. Yeah. He will do absolutely anything he can to ensure that you don't communicate to God. Anything he can do, tie you up, hold you down, make you tired, distract you, get you in the wrong frame of mind to spend time with God, to communicate with him. Because when he does, he begins to win. He begins to cut off everything God can do for your life. He begins to distract you from your purpose. He begins to find ways to disconnect you from God. And before you know it, although the spirit may be strong, before you know it, you find yourself distant from God. You feel like you haven't spoken to him in a while. You feel like you're not receiving everything he has for you. Truth is, God has good things for you. If anybody has ever told you otherwise, they're lying. God has nothing but good things for your life. He wants to pour out nothing but blessings and favor. He wants to strengthen you. He wants to challenge you. He wants to grow you. He is as real as anything I've experienced. But I'll tell you what, the enemy wants to take away our prayer life. He would love our flesh to take over. Tiredness, busyness, and distraction, because he knows it's such a powerful thing for our life. Let's talk for a moment about why prayer is so powerful. The first thing is that the enemy would love to isolate us. See, you and I, we go through things in life. They're called troubles. Everybody say troubles. We'd be lying to ourselves if we'd say that we never go through anything troubling. Whether it's now or whether it's in the past, or I don't know if it's coming or not, but there are things we go through that God wants us to bring to him and give to him. And so often we do things in our own strength and by ourselves, forget to bring it to Jesus and say, my troubles, God, are your troubles. God, everything I'm going through is yours. Ease this burden. Help me through this. Get me through. See, Mark chapter 14, verse 33. Starting in verse 32, actually. It says, then they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he, this is Jesus again, said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. And he took Peter, James, and John with him. And this is Jesus, our Savior. And it says, and he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. This is Jesus beginning to be troubled and deeply distressed. You know, you can take heart right there because our Savior was troubled and distressed. And it's okay to be troubled and distressed. It's okay to go through things, but the way in which we respond is important here. And so this is what Jesus does. Verse 34, then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch. Verse 35, Jesus, he went a little further. He fell on the ground and prayed. He fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible that the hour might pass. In other words, there was a moment where Jesus was stressed. He was anxious. He was going through something. His first instinct was to pray. His first instinct was bring his troubles, kneel down before God and say, God, I need your help. Jesus, I need your strength. God, help me in this moment of need. And I tell you what, the enemy would love us to face our troubles on our own. Climb that mountain, face that storm without God in our life. But I tell you what, church, if we can reawaken our prayer life and say, God, every time I'm troubled, I'm coming to you. God, I'm going to make my troubles your troubles. God, you're going to help me through. God, you're going to see me through. God, you're going to help me win. It's so powerful. How about this? Philippians 4, starting in verse 6, it says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about absolutely everything. Tell God what you need and then thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can ever understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Jesus. I love it. But let's be honest. We don't pray about anything. We worry about everything. Let's flip this verse around. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. A lot of what we do is worry about everything and pray about nothing. The Spirit's strong. We know we should, but maybe our troubles overwhelm. Maybe we haven't got in a good routine of coming to God. Maybe we haven't really caught it in our spirit about coming to God, but don't worry about anything. Your troubles will not overwhelm you, but instead pray about everything. Just come to God and talk to him. Communicate. He will help you through. Come on, is this good? Come on, we're going to go through a fair bit of scripture tonight because I just want God to speak to us. Luke 18, starting in verse 1. It says this, "Then he spoke a parable to them, that men always ought to pray and to never, ever lose heart." And I want to pause there because I find that we pray, but we begin to lose heart. Maybe God hasn't come through just yet. Or again, maybe we've gotten tired or maybe prayer's taken a back seat. But I want to encourage us tonight to continue praying and not lose heart. Keep going. Keep asking God. Keep believing. Keep shouting out to Jesus what you need from him. Verse 2 saying that there was in a certain city, there was a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. In other words, he wasn't very nice. Now, there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, "Get justice for me for my adversary." And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, "Though I don't fear God nor regard man, yet because this woman troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me down." In other words, this woman kept coming, kept believing, kept seeking breakthrough of this king that didn't care, that didn't have a heart for his people, that couldn't really be bothered with her. Yet her persistent bringing her troubles to the king, he had a change of heart. Verse 6 says this, "Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect, who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with him? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on earth?" I'm encouraged by this because this widow, knowing the judge was unjust, unfair, not a good bloke, didn't have her best interests at heart, still had the spirit and tenacity to go after what she needed. She asked, she begged, she prayed, she came after that king and that judge and said, "This is what I need. I'm troubled. Help me." And so what God does here is he sets up this story for us saying, this is how good I am and this is how bad this guy is. How much more so this king coming to the rescue will I not come to those who bring their troubles to me? And so I want to encourage you tonight, church, don't go through what you're going through on your own. I want you to write down in your notepad, maybe on your screensaver, whatever it is, but make your troubles God's troubles because he's your savior. He's your God. He's your father. He wants to take you through them, see you healed, see you whole, and take you to new strengths. Come on, that's so important and so powerful. Second thing I want to point out tonight is that God often downloads the things we need when we pray. Come on, we're all familiar with downloads in this day and age. Pastor Richard preached a great message last week that one of the most important things above shelter was Wi-Fi. Above food, above love was just Wi-Fi. That's one of the most important things we need as society these days. We understand the idea of download. But I'll tell you what, in times of prayer, when we can prioritize it and get our spirit stronger than our flesh, God is able to download exactly what we need right at the right time. Do you believe that tonight? Come on, give God some praise if you believe that. Right at the right time, God can give you everything you need. You see, often we're not ready to receive. Kind of picture God throwing out blessings from heaven, throwing out wisdom, throwing out ideas, throwing out the exact thing we need, but we're just not receiving. We're not pausing and downloading. See, sometimes to download, it takes some time. It takes a little bit of time. And you see, I'm not the best with this because my kind of personality is let's go. Let's get out there and change the world. Let's make something happen. Let's move and shake. Let's do this. But God has had to teach me, hey, just take some moment. Take a moment, be still and know that I'm God. I have everything you need. I know everything you'll ever need. I can give you what you want. But you see, in this fast-paced society, we forget to take some time to pray. And not necessarily ask God, but receive. And again, contrary to my personality, I've learned, just God, download what I need. God, speak to me. As I'm preparing messages, that's the most time where I have to sit still and say, God, what are you speaking right now? What season are we in? What are people going to really receive this Sunday? And then God just begins to download what he wants me to bring scriptures to my mind and put something on my heart and really presses in a topic like this and says, that's what I want you to speak. And so I'm telling you, it was so powerful when we can take some time to download. Luke chapter 6, starting in verse 12, it says, one day, soon afterward, Jesus went up on a mountain to pray. And he prayed to God all night. Verse 13, at daybreak, he called together all of his disciples and he chose 12 of them to be apostles. Here are their names. And I think that's so powerful because this is a moment where Jesus is about to call his 12 to him. Out of all the earth, he chose 12 disciples to train, to lead, to disciple, to leave his gospel with. Is it making sense to everybody? This is a big decision. This is a big moment. Is there anybody else who has big moments, big decisions to make, things that they need wisdom for, things that they really need God's help with? I'll tell you what, in a moment of prayer, God can download that to you. And so here's Jesus spending all night in prayer. That's a long time. All night in prayer. And I'm not here to say, come on, let's do some all-nighters. Guys, we're going to stay here tonight and until work tomorrow, we're going to stay here and pray. And we're going to go for not at all, but I'm telling you what, spend half an hour. Set aside some time and let God begin to download what you need. And so here's Jesus, Son of God, Savior of the world. He just spends time with God and God begins to download the names. He begins to tell him his 12 disciples, the guys he's going to die on a cross, rise again, fill them with power and say, go, tell everybody about what you've seen. This is a pretty major decision. And I'm honestly here and I'm encouraged to say that in this room, there are some incredible people. Would you agree? Yeah. Look to the person to the left. Come on, do it right now. And then to the right. Now back to the left. And then to the right. And then back to the left. But you look at the person next to you and they're a person doing some incredible things with their life. God wouldn't have put you on this earth unless you had a plan and a purpose. 100%. This whole year has seen purpose because that's what God has for us. And I'm really sick and tired, if I can be frank, of people walking around confused and without clarity, without a clear vision, without a clear purpose, no direction, because they haven't spent time with Jesus, haven't spent time praying, haven't spent just 15 minutes saying, God, where am I going? God, what do you want for my life? Come on, you've got some big decisions to make. Come on, you've got some things you want to do with your life. I know you don't want to just idle by into eternity. You want to achieve something great. And I'll tell you what, the plans and the purpose God has ready to roll out for you. He's got a massive desk that he's just got the plans and he's ready to roll them out and just begin to speak over your life. And you might be like, that's weird because I've never really prayed before or I've never heard God before. And does he speak like this? No, he doesn't necessarily speak like this, but he just begins to whisper in your ear, instill something in your heart. You're praying for courage and all of a sudden you've got some courage. You're praying for ideas and creativity. You're praying for a staff member, then God brings it your way. I want to encourage you. Come on, let's set aside some time and let God download what he needs to download in our life. You know what? I'm no police officer, but I know a few. They don't mess around with me, all right? I'm connected. But I've watched enough Brooklyn Nine-Nine to know that the cops, they don't go after the dealer, they go after the supplier. They'll offer the dealer a deal to go after the supplier because they know if they can cut off the supply, they've done their job. The enemy wants to go off your supply. The enemy wants to cut off your supply to heaven. He just wants to take it down. Come on, you can give God some praise. That's a good point. The truth is that the enemy knows if he can cut off your supply from heaven, as God's downloading, you know, I was speaking to Daniel Digby the other week and he was saying that sometimes he's playing too much Fortnite, too many video games. And he says what his dad will do is he'll go to the Wi-Fi box and just turn it off. Any parents ever done that before? Come on, your teenagers are at the front. They can't see your hands up. Aaron Mayolo, hands right up. But is that painting a picture for you? All they got to do is turn the Wi-Fi off to cut the supply. And I tell you what, the enemy wants to cut off the download time. He does not want that Wi-Fi on. He does not want your connection with God to be strong. He does not want he doesn't want 10G going on. He wants that supply cut off. And I tell you what, every moment you're downloading is a moment you're going forward. It's a moment the enemy is taking steps further and further away from your plan, your purpose, your business, your children, your family, your career, your purpose. But I tell you what, it's time for us to plug in and say, God, download what you need to download in Jesus' name. You know what? It's important because the third point I want to make is that it helps with temptation. One of the first things that the enemy did to derail Jesus was tempt him. He tempted him with glory. He tempted him with power. He tempted him with all kinds of things because he knew if he could just tempt Jesus, he'd give up. The enemy knows that if he can just tempt you, it'll throw you off your game. It'll make you feel guilty. It'll make you feel far from God. It'll make you want to disconnect from the house of God, from the plan of God, from the purpose of God. So the enemy comes and tempts us. But I tell you what, the best counteraction of that is prayer. Again, it's one of our biggest weapons. Let me read Luke 22 for you, starting at verse 39. It says, coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives, and as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. When he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. Wow, that's pretty important. Jesus says, pray so that you may not enter into temptation. Same chapter, verse 46 again, they'll be on the screens. Same little passage, but Jesus says it again. It's always important when he says it twice to say, why is he saying it twice? It must be important. Then he said to them, why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. And you know why I believe Jesus is saying this? I believe he's saying, pray lest you enter into temptation because he wants his voice in your ear, not the enemy's. So the enemy's talking all day, every day. He's giving you great ideas. Not really. He's making you doubt yourself. He's making you feel guilt and shame. He's making you unwise. He's trying to destroy. The Bible says that he's here to kill and destroy. That's what the Bible says. And so I'll tell you why God wants us to pray and spend time is because he wants his voice in your ear rather than the enemy's. We've all seen it in the movies. One shoulder, you've got the angel. One shoulder, you've got the red guy with the pitchfork. You've all seen that, yeah? Because that's trying to illustrate what happens. Whose voice are we listening to? And I find myself, when I haven't spent time in prayer, I start to just think stupid things. Can anybody else relate? Can we be real today? Just start to think stupid things. Start to doubt myself. Doubt the plan and purpose God has for me. Start to be unloving and uncaring. Start to be lazy and all these kind of things. And you know why? It's because the enemy's voice is starting to get in my ear. But then I find myself when I've got some momentum with prayer, and I start to hear God's voice in my ear. And when I'm waking up for 10 minutes, God's downloading things. And God's speaking into my life. And God's helping me out with my career and my business and my family. And I'm not falling into the temptation. The enemy comes and tempts, whether it might be for you lust, whether it might be laziness. Maybe he comes and tempts you to fall back into your old ways of thinking. Tries to bring anxiety your way. He just tempts us to fall into his trap. Maybe he tempts you to lose your integrity in business or in uni. I don't know what it may be, but I tell you what, when we spend time in prayer, when we say, I want my spirit to rise up and be strong, above my flesh, when we get God's voice in our ear and in our heart, I tell you what, the enemy, he just flees. He just knows he's lost that battle because they're spending time in prayer. Do you believe that? Of course, you've got some praise if you believe that. Let's keep God's voice in our ear and not the enemy. It's so powerful, you know, but let's talk about the flesh for a moment. The spirit is strong. I want to pray. I want God to download things to my life. I want to hear God's voice and not the enemy's voice. I want to be strong in spirit and strong in flesh. I want to bring my troubles to God, but we get tired and weak. Again, we set out all these good intentions, but they just fall by the wayside. So many times, I'll be honest, I've tried to put prayer routine or a prayer pattern in place, and for some reason or another, it's just taken a back seat. Whether it's to Netflix, whether it's to a late night so I can't get up early in the morning, whether it's to busyness or whether it's whatever it may be, the truth is we need to plan to pray. God is everywhere. He is always near us and we can pray at any times. But I tell you what, again, the enemy would love us to believe that prayer needs to be a certain way, a certain type of prayer. You need to do this, that, this. The enemy wants to make it hard, but I tell you what, if we just plan to pray, we will pray. If we just plan to hear from God, we will hear from God. If we just plan to bring our troubles to Him, if we just plan to let God download to us, if this is resonating with anybody, He'll be able to download to us. And so in this busy world of phones and busyness, let's plan to pray. And so I find there are people that are morning people, and so they can get up in the morning and pray, spend time with God, get out in the cold and go for a run and pray for hours. Some of you guys are looking at me saying, if that's the prerequisite, I'm not praying. Because I can't do any of those three things. Get up early and run. I ain't running, Dave. Some people might think that you've got to get down on your knees and go in a quiet room and spend 45 minutes, an hour, and just on your knees praying and all that. Yeah, that might work for some people, but you've got to find out what works for you. Yeah. Something that works for me personally. And there are times, often where I just spend half an hour just praying. I'll lock my office door or my bedroom door and I'll just pray. I'll just seek God and say, God, I need to make some big decisions. God, I've got some calls I've got to make, or you're praying for something. God, not me, but you know, yourself praying for your kids and praying for your finances and praying for your, maybe you've got some addictions in your life or some, you're praying for some people in your life to break the addictions. You're praying and chain breaking prayer. But for me, I just pray on the go. I call it my dynamic prayer life, where I just pray continually without stopping. 1 Thessalonians says that pray continuously without stopping. And so I find just all the time I'm praying, I'm thanking God, I'm communicating with Him, I'm speaking with Him, whether it's in the shower, in the car, whether you've got 5 minutes waiting for coffee here, there, or anywhere, and it's not I'm on my knees, my hands are raised and I'm praying, it's just talking with God. Some places out loud, but maybe when you're waiting for coffee, do it in your head. But I find that I'm just constantly connected with God. Is this making sense? But I tell you what, that's what it works for me. For some of you guys, you might want to pray at night. For some people, you might say, I'm just tired at the end of the night. I just can't pray. I just like to switch off. And that's okay. But I encourage you, plan to pray. Yeah, and what I would encourage you to do is find 15 minutes. Everybody say 15 minutes, 15 minutes to pray every day. Yeah. Yeah, pray continuously. Pray as you go. But even if you want to start with 10 minutes, just praying. Yeah. Maybe you want to close your eyes. Maybe you don't. Maybe you want to put some worship music on. Maybe you don't. You don't. But then just spend some time and begin by thanking God. Your prayers don't need to be the most eloquent words ever. They don't need to be perfectly strung together. They just need to start with a heart and say, God, I'm thankful. And then you'll begin to start to ask for some things. God wants us to ask Him for things. And then you begin to bring your burdens to Him and say, God, my troubles, I'm making them yours. God, we're going to work through this together. But I want to encourage you, let's just not get hyped about prayer. Let's actually get practical and plan to pray. And so whether you're a morning person, whether you're a night person, maybe you want to find time during the middle of the day, whether you can or not, but actually find some time and plan to pray. Is that good? I want to encourage you with that. You need to schedule it in. I love what my friend did. They scheduled it in at 6 a.m. It was bold. It was brave. It didn't work. Credit to them, but at least they've got the right idea. Maybe schedule it in another time, but make that time each day, every second day even, where you plan to pray. I know a lot of people have date night with their spouse or with their partner. What a great idea. That's going to keep the relationship healthy, am I right? Yeah. Communication up, connection great. Make some time with God each week. Yeah. Make some time with God each day. Right. You'll continue to go forward. I'd love if the keys can jump up here and the worship team will be here in a moment. But the final point I want to make tonight is that prayer enables us to fight. Prayer enables us to fight. See, I love the fact that we fight from victory and not for victory. Most fights we see in this world are people fighting for victory. But you see, when you have Jesus in your life, you're fighting from victory. You're fighting from victory. And I want to make this point because I read a passage before where Jesus knelt down and began to pray. And he was troubled to the point of death, the Bible says. In other words, he was about to be crucified and he knew it. He was about to go to the cross. He was troubled. He knew it was coming. He wanted to do it, but he felt it. He started to feel it. In that moment was Jesus fighting for our victory. That was a battle going on in the spiritual. Because see, Jesus went to the cross. He died on it. He sacrificed his life so that we could be free. Amen. Then he rose again, and now he sits in heaven with God. And that's why I love Jesus. That's why I come to church. That's why I've given him my heart. That's why I'm not ashamed to tell anybody and everybody, yeah, I love my God. I don't care what you think or what you say. That's what he did for me. And you see, in that moment, Jesus won the victory. He won the battle against the enemy. The enemy didn't want him to go to the cross because he knew that as Jesus gave his life, all of your sins would be forgiven. Every person that believes in him, their sins will be forgiven. And so you wouldn't have to be accountable for the wrong things you've done. The enemy wouldn't be able to come to you with guilt and shame and bribe you and condemn you and make you feel not enough, make you feel doubt. And so in that moment, Jesus fought and he won the victory. But then why do we need to keep fighting? If the victory has already been won, why are we fighting? If Jesus has won, he's on the throne of heaven. He's defeated the enemy. Why are we still fighting? Because the battle for your life is still on. See, what the enemy would love to do is to knock Jesus off your throne. And he would love to take his place. What the enemy doesn't want is Jesus being your savior. He doesn't want you to turn to him. He doesn't want you to go to him. See, Jesus has won the victory, but the enemy is still fighting for our hearts. And so, yeah, we fight from victory in the strength that Jesus has given us, but the devil's coming after us. He wants that title in our life. He wants the throne of our heart. He wants us to turn our backs on Jesus and do life our own way. The devil wants to dethrone Jesus, not from his throne, but from yours. And so I would love for our prayer life to be awakened. Because that's where we fight. That's where we get into the spiritual and the supernatural, and that's where things shift. That's where cancer is defeated. That's where mental illness is broken. That's where things begin to move and shift. And as the enemy comes and puts up a fight, as he tries to distract you, as he tries to take you away, as he tries to take control, that's when we need to get on our knees and fight. When we get our cry, Jesus, come on. We pray in the spiritual and we say, God, I need you to move. You want to push the enemy back. We begin to fight with prayer. Like I said, it's our biggest weapon we have against the enemy. Jesus has already won the battle, but we need to keep fighting. And so often I'm praying, God, I push back the enemy. God, I don't want to hear a word from him. God, I don't want him to have any control over my family, over my life, over my church, over anything that's going on near me. I push him back. And Father, I'm fighting in the spiritual for my finances. Father, I'm fighting for my family. Father, I'm fighting and praying into things. The enemy would love us to stop praying. Dads, men of the home, keep praying. Never stop praying. Never stop fighting. Never stop pushing the enemy back. I know this is kind of going deep here right now, but I'm so inspired to pray, to fight, to move forward in the things that God has for us.
Hi, I'm Richard Kabakian, pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.